Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. So, happy 2022. Interest rates are at zero. Our government is printing money, $5 trillion in new money to be exact. We're told Russia's on the verge of waging war with Ukraine. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence is at a 10-year low. Inflation is at 7.5%. Something's not adding up, is it? So what can you do? You can play it safe by putting some of your assets into precious metals and keeping your money free from inflation. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold and they'll run you through the options for keeping your money safe. No pressure, no hassle, no call centers. Just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? Call 877-646-5347 or visit the website noblegoldinvestments.com.
Some of them, like the formation bottom right, were the interiors in dry wheat. They were braided and knotted and like teepees. I couldn't believe some of the centerpieces. And I feature centerpieces in a couple of my films because they were art. And those are done, in my opinion, by the earth because they were too artistic to be done by humans when the wheat is that dry.
Hey friends, that was Patty Greer. She is the producer of 8 fantastic crop circle films. And in this discussion, we really get into the woo of crop circles. So if that's a subject you find interesting, you'll definitely want to stay tuned for this one. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Well, a couple of weeks ago, Bitcoin was up 20% in just 5 days. Yes, crypto is a very volatile space, but that's exactly why a lot of people are making a lot of money. And I want you to know there's a way your capital gains can go tax-free legally, and you can do it through My Digital Money. With My Digital Money, you can buy and sell cryptocurrencies through a crypto IRA and not pay any taxes. And we all know how big the gains could be. Last year, Ethereum gained 450%. With a My Digital Money crypto IRA account, you don't have to pay taxes on any of that. And here's the best part. My Digital Money is giving away $50 to new cash accounts. Just use the code MDM50. Go to mydigitalmoney.com and open your account now to get your free $50. mydigitalmoney.com. And Patty Greer, cropcirclefilms.com. Let's dive in. Guys, Patty and I are going to do a shot of our C60 Evo right now. I've got my little teaspoon. I just poured it. Patty, how do you do it? Right out of the bottle, huh?
This is a little bottle, so I'm going straight out of it. Cheers.
Cheers. All right. That should help brain function, hopefully, as we have this woo-woo conversation about crop circles, plasma vortexes. Doug and Dave faked it all, we're told. See, I do remember this stuff, Patty.
Where I forgot would you about like, Doug and Dave.
Yeah, Doug and Dave, they faked it all. Where would you like to begin? Because I know that the payoff of this conversation is quite huge. Why would they want all of this to just go away? Why would they want to make people believe this whole thing was faked? Crop circles are nothing more than two guys with planks faking it all. Why would they want us to believe that? Where would you like to start?
Well, you know, some shows I start in the beginning, and this one I'm going to start at the punchline and then work our way backward and start at the beginning after I hit the answer to your question. Doug and Dave are a pile of crap, BBC, Ancient Aliens. I'm sorry, but silly boys. This is the man, William Levengood, lefty, who really discovered the truth about crop circles. And I had made 7 films before I was invited into his lab to learn the real science of crop circles. And the punchline is why they've been hiding it, because the seeds inside real crop circles are growing 30 to 400% more food and biofuel per plant with up to 75% more nutrition per seed, which means real crop circles are growing super seeds that can save the food supply. And Lefty in his lab with a secret partner, Penny Kelly, who I spent 3 weeks with completely off the cuff, and I made my final film, Crop Circle Diaries, wrapped around the science, which I had never known. And I don't think anybody else has ever exposed it. And this was after being in 100 crop circles, thinking I knew it all. I didn't know anything until I really learned the science. And a lot of people are still poo-pooing the fact of, you know, they're coming from aliens or they're coming from military lasers. And bottom line is they're coming out of the earth in counter-rotating vortices of plasma fields. And we're going to talk about that science and explain it better, but it completely threw me for a loop. And it took me five mornings with Penny where I just literally hold my head and say, tell me again. And she said, you're being silly. Why are you holding your head? And I said, it actually gives me a headache. After I thought I knew how crop circles were made, which I didn't really know. I just knew that I was in a lot of them. The hair stands up on your arms, chills on the back of your neck and top of your head. But the bottom line is, Lefty, William Levengood, created a machine. And I have never shown this image on the air, but here's the punchline. For any of you scientists, farmers, this is a reverse technology of crop circle frequencies. And he created this machine in his lab. I took the photo because I was there. And with that machine, they are able to recreate super seeds. So, a lot of people are going to want to go back to the beginning of the show and just freeze that frame to realize why Lefty was able to take those seeds and create that much more food. The top row are the super seeds. And he did it with a variety of different veggies. But this is the difference. I mean, let's talk about bringing back the food supply. And that's the truth about crop circles that they've been hiding with all the shows that are on TV. Bunch of crap. I'm sorry. I don't listen to other crop circle researchers other than the people that I was in the fields with all those years, such as Janet Osebard, who created two series called The Fall of the Cabal. Brilliant woman. And both of us ended up making all these movies after being in crop circles for years. So let's start now at the beginning of the images, which I'll try and be more gentle, but that was the big boom.
That is a big boom. Well, let me interrupt and just play a clip from your film with Penny Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Crop Circle Diaries. I have this queued up because I want to set the stage for the audience. I want people to understand what this phenomenon is. And then you're going to see these remarkable images as we continue the conversation here. Remarkable images of very, very complex, incredibly complex crop circles. Here's Penny Kelly on why this is not a faked phenomenon.
Awesome. There's no way you can, you know, just bend a whole field. You can melt the cellulose in a whole field and make those plants bend over the way they do and then keep growing, because there really isn't any damage. It's just that the cellulose bends over. There's no way that you could fake elongated nodes, or what he called expulsion cavities when the node blew out. There's no way that you could fake a single row of seeds. There's no way to fake molten iron ore in the middle of the field, you know, in the middle of the night. And he said, most of the crop circles are real. The ones that are not, that are done by Doug and Dave type, he said, those are obvious. He didn't even spend any time on them. They were all broken. The plant was dying, etc.
I'll pause and I'll come back to you. Patty, I do find this phenomenon so interesting, because if what you're saying is accurate about the super seeds, well, that would be a threat to Monsanto, wouldn't it? That would be a threat to corporate farming. That would be a threat to the powers that ought not be. And by the way, they want us hungry. Okay, you see what's going on right now with the supply chain issues all over the world? They are going to starve us out. If they cannot usher in their new world order, one world government, because right now they're having a hard time as people wake up, they are going to try to starve us to death. So I'll turn it back to you.
Wow. Well, thank you for that clip. What a surprise. Thank you for doing your homework. You know, by surprising me with Penny Kelly, she really knocked me out of my chair every morning, because knowing the science is really different than experiencing the incredible crop circles. So let's go to a few photos that I sent you. And this is what it's like in a crop circle. And this was actually one of the last times I was in a crop circle in 2014. and I was filming an incredible movie. I took Sasha Stone into his first crop circle, and I was 2,000 hours into editing when I realized I was working with more con artists that were not going to let me finish the movie in the way I wanted. So I kind of gave it up. But let's go to the next shot, because I took it seriously. Starting in 2006, I was in crop circles all summer long. And at night, this is when the good stuff happens. So we would sit up on the hill, freezing our butts off. Sometimes it was drizzly cold in England, and you just got to be hardcore if you want to film, God forbid, orbs of light, a crop circle being made. And the science that we talked about, that I talked about right in the beginning, punchline first, was caught on camera by only a few of us in the fields, waiting into the night. And further into the presentation, I do have some incredible images that I caught that night on the top of the hill. So let's go to the next image. And this is how people would find me. I wasn't very friendly in the crop circles because I was there on a mission. And off to one side was my camera gear and my tripod, which were huge and heavy. But when I first entered a crop circle, I would always go to the center, lay down, and just be there. And that was what happened to me in 2007, the second year I was there. I lay down in a crop circle, and I've got an image of that crop circle coming up called Sugar Hill. And I don't know what happened, but when I woke up, I started making movies. And I think that I learned, again, in my final film, Crop Circle Diaries, that at that time I had an outer world experience. And when I came back, I could see things in the sky that I'd never seen before. And I started banging out movies. I made 8 movies in 10 years with no training. I ran the camera myself. I still couldn't tell you what the parts are called. I just knew zoom in, out, power on, off. And I made these amazing movies because I was living in the fields of Wiltshire, England all summer long.
Can I ask you something? How come this phenomenon mostly seems to take place in that part of the world, in England? I know that crop circles do appear elsewhere, but the complex, most interesting ones seem to appear there. Why is that? Is it ley lines? Is it, what is it?
Yes, that's definitely one of the two top reasons or consistencies that we found in our research. But the epicenter has always been Wiltshire, England, which is the Avebury Stone Circle, where 3 underground streams meet. And Avebury is this sacred stone circle, even older than Stonehenge. I'm getting goosebumps remembering the magic of being there because it was nothing but magical. And on the map, if you look at crop circles springing up all over the world, the epicenter is always Wiltshire, England, until 2019 when things changed. So Wiltshire, England on average had 150 crop circles during the summer while I was there, and that's a lot. We'd wake up in the morning, there'd be 1, 2, 3 new crop circles reported at the research center, which was this wonderful place where we'd go first thing in the morning, and it was called the Silent Circle. And all my films, I mean, I tell the stories, I show the images and all the areas where this was going on. But again, I think the most famous is this incredible one with 409 flawless circles. And when you're in one crop circle, you think, oh, isn't this a beautiful circle? Not realizing there's 409 of them spread out in Fibonacci mathematical sequence, flawless. And my friend Charles Mallet was in that crop circle. He walked the entire perimeter at 5:30 in the morning and said there wasn't one footprint, and it had been raining all night. So it was like slosh, slosh, really hard in your big rubber wellies, you know, to walk through the fields when you're stepping in mud that thick. There wasn't a footprint in sight in a crop circle this massive. So I knew in my first crop circle with the little teeny hairs going up on my girl arms that it was something I'd never experienced before. There was an electromagnetic field that I had never experienced. Now, maybe in the pyramids of Egypt, other people noticed that, but this was definitely mind-boggling frequencies.
Hmm. Just so interesting. And at some point in this conversation, I do want you to share with me the issues that happened in your life, why you had to get out of this research. I know that you teased it a little bit in our pre-talk about the fact that the real ufology, the real UFO research has now pretty much ended. A lot of the best people involved in that area of research have passed, maybe been taken out, and you did not feel safe doing this research anymore. So I do want you to get us there eventually.
Yeah, let's do that at the end. Let's have fun and till we get there, because it's true. And I don't know any other researchers that made movies about crop circles where they were also in the lab. You know, a lot of them are just repeating information that other people put in their books or my films, but I haven't seen anybody that did both other than me. So I felt very blessed during that time. So this is 2007 when I first started making movies. And on the left is Robert O. Dean, the grandfather of ufology. I loved that man, the guy with the cane. And he was always standing at the foot of the stage when I received my EBE awards. This beast. I have five of these. And they are little movie camera, EBE aliens. This is 2019. I won the best feature film in the People's Award. But Robert O. Dean was always there and probably the most respected man in ufology. Let's go back to that photo of the guys, because all of them are gone other than Bob Brown next to me. And so Robert O. Dean was in a few of my films, fabulous researcher and experiencer and four-star general, as was the guy on the right, Wendell Stevens, who had the largest real UFO image library in the world. And when he saw my first two films, he actually gifted me access to his entire collection of UFO images because he believed in my work, which really helped my second movie that has been really hard to get out. That one's called UFOs, ETs, Abductees, and Brilliant Minds. And that was my second film. I had no idea how to operate a camera, but I hung it around my neck. My editor loaned me his brand new Panasonic P2HD. It was like this long. And I said, no, I'll hire a crew. And he said, no, you can do it. So I wore the thing like a necklace. And it was really hot in Arizona where they had the International UFO Congress convention. So I always had scanty clothes and a big camera, and it was easy to get interviews that way. So I interviewed 28 of the greatest people that ever graced the stage, in my opinion. And most of them are gone, it's true. But in the meantime, I had tremendous fun. So let's go on to the history of crop circles, which I think I've put here some of the most interesting and informative alien face in the disc. This was 2002.
Now this one, I've always bumped on this one. If ever there was a government or military apparatus behind this whole phenomenon, this would be the one that makes me believe that's the case, because this one is just a little too, you tell me what this one's all about. This is a little too on point for the whole, oh, it's all aliens. Aliens are visiting us. Aliens are making the crop circles.
Well, have you ever heard the actual message of the binary code deciphered?
I did actually really, truly follow this. I know there's a binary code there. There's information in that disc. Tell us about it.
Okay, in my opinion, and that's all I have. And a lot of people say, you know, do you know how to read crop circles? I've read so many that for me, it's like turning the pages of a book, but it doesn't mean I'm right for you or her or him. I say everybody sees what they're meant to see when they look at a crop circle. So I'm just going to tell you my perception. What I see here is that the alien is obvious. It's a gray of some kind, but the binary code is most informative. And I'm just gonna sneak ahead and say the following summer was 9/11, okay? 9/11, which was the beginning of us really being aware of deep state intervention. So what the binary code said was—
So wait now, this one is from 2000?
2002.
Well, 9/11 was 2001.
There were two messages, and one of them was, they were 8 miles apart. This one was after, thank you for clarifying. And the Arecibo message was the summer before. So this was right after 9/11. Thank you for correcting me, because I did switch the order. I had the 2001 first, but this one is so much more famous that I confused myself. So thank you. This was after 9/11. And the message was this: beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing.
I remember that. I really do remember that. I was really into the research here, and I followed a lot of this stuff, posted a lot of this information on my websites. I didn't realize this one was so old, though. I guess a lot of time has passed. I started right? SGT Report in like 2010, and I didn't realize this one was from 2002. That is so interesting. I do feel like there is a great awakening that has happened, that has burgeoned, that has exploded since 2010, 2012, specifically. And I believe that the white hats are waking people up. Now, we can debate who the white hats are, but I think that the powers that ought not be described in that binary code, the children of darkness, as Archbishop Vigano put it in his letter to Donald Trump, they're being exposed like never before. We can name the names. Do you want me to name them? Klaus Schwab, right at the head of the list. Rothschild, no, Rockefeller. People are Soros. Waking up. People are Soros. That's right. People are waking up.
Oh, yeah. Well, it began with beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. There they are, right? The next image is a close-up of the binary code. And it was deciphered by Paul Begay. And he did his best, and it was also deciphered by computer experts, the binary code, and they agreed on the message, and then Paul Begay supposedly disappeared. So they were disappearing people back in the top of this century. And now the next few images are the one that should have been before it. Oh, there's how much fun we have. So we were headed in to film, and the film crew is over here behind us. I'm in the back with my big long hair, and Janet Osebard is in the front. And then there were two men there that I interviewed, Bert Janssen, who has done a lot of research on gematria and sacred geometry and crop circles, and Paladin Jenkins, that are in my first film. So that's what it looks like walking in a crop circle. It's flat. You have no idea where the crop circle is. You just know that you were given directions basically like this. Park your car where you see a broken tree, and then walk 5 tractor lines to the left. And you can see the tractor lines, the double lines. And that's where they move their tractors through to wash the fields, to water the fields. So this crop circle is the one in 2001.
Yep. I remember this right next to that. What did you call it? Acebo, or it's a
Arecibo telecommunication tower.
Yep. I remember this one very
well. I forgot to mention, right, that the alien face in the disc, I think we skipped one image where I had a close up of the field, and you can see the telecommunication tower there. But these two fields were 8 miles apart. So they were both in Chilbolton, which is in England, southern England, and they both had these huge communication towers. Now, in my opinion, that's brilliant, because they're not just placing it in any field. And again, you've got a human face that's upside down to us, and this very intrinsic message that was very precise. And it happened in a crop circle, but it seemed to be an answer to the message that Paul Begay. I'm going to let you go to the next frame, because it seemed to be a response to Carl Sagan and Francis Drake. So that is you can see the telecommunication tower is so dang close. And what you have there is this really specific message, again, in binary code, that was a direct response, humans felt, to the message sent out into space toward a cluster, a star cluster called M13, what was it, 25 million miles away or 1,000 miles away? Again, it's vague. that history. But we sent out a very specific message from the Arecibo Tower in Puerto Rico that had very specific details about Earth, our elements, our population, what our people looked like. And now you can go to the next image, which was where we got this message back that seemed really similar, but it had distinct differences. They noticed 9 differences, such as silicon was added, which we know helped to create all of our computers. And they had an additional strand of DNA compared to the one we sent. And that's what happened in the crop circle. A change in the number of nucleotides, the alien gray instead of the human on the right, which looks more like our shape. And the change in the population value, changes to the solar system info, and changes to the transmitter diameter of the tower. So what's interesting is we did have a crop circle that was almost identical to the transmission tower on the left, but the one on the right, interesting, it's got an M at the base of it, which appears to me now for the first time, but that's more the shape of the Arecibo in their opinion. So what you have is this interaction between a message that we sent out to space, our scientists from a very big tower, and we spent a lot to get the message out into space in 1974. And here this came back in 2001 at the top of this century in binary code. And then the very next year, the alien face and the disc. And right between them, as you pointed out, was 9/11.
So the code that people see here, this was sent out into space by human beings. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then this code that showed up in the field next to that transmitter is slightly different. And essentially, the theory would be a response from an alien species. Boy, I've come so full circle on this whole question of aliens. I don't believe it anymore. I used to really buy into it. And this appears to be a response. Here's the thing. How would anybody fake this in a field next to that transmitter? How could it be faked? How could people not be seen creating this? So right there, if we just stick with the basics, we know the phenomenon is not being faked. It is a phenomenon of some sort. The question is it military? Is it from within the Earth? Is it an alien species?
Those were the questions, but now I know because of the true science of, you know, what we'll get to shortly. But again, I pointed this one out in the very beginning, 409 flawless circles in a Fibonacci mathematical sequence, and it was perfect. And each circle was a perfect circle where you think, oh, what a great crop circle. And then you go, wait a minute, there's an opening. There's another circle and another, and you have no idea that there's 409. The fact that it was flawless, that it happened on a rainy night and it wasn't there the day before, military is not that good.
Right. And the other thing is that this all predates drones, at least the consumer available ones, the cheap drones. You guys didn't have access to drones, so you'd have to wait for a day or two or whatever till a helicopter could be dispatched to fly in and videotape it.
Right. Well, you know, if we think more analytically and more Earth love, we're going to realize that the Earth herself is a living being. She grows trees like we grow hair. She grows wildflowers like we, you know, grow whatever, plants in our field, food. But again, that food came from the Earth naturally, originally. And so what we have now is the planet of people that have been destroying the Earth for hundreds of years, the deep state, the enemy of all people, and also the enemy of the Earth, you know, fracking, drilling, poisoning. I mean, Monsanto.
Glyphosate. Yep, that's right. Literal poison, glyphosate.
So here's the Earth, this conscious entity communicating with the people in a language that we all understand, rather than words because we speak different languages. She's been speaking to us in binary codes. I mean, come on, binary codes, like that's something that's hard to deny. when it's discovered by scientists, mathematicians, computers, you realize, wow, you can't fake that. And then there's a lot of pictograms, which is a picture of something that's giving us a message. And when you see hummingbirds and there was a summer 2009 when all we saw was animals, fish, bugs, but they were the ancient ones. We had the scarab and the dragonfly, and then we had the owl, but we also had the rising phoenix with flames at the base crop circle. It was so stunning. And then there was the Orthoceras in the ocean, 300 million years old, and these really ancient sea creatures that were 1500 feet long, an octopus with, you know, waving 1500 foot long tentacles. So you're thinking, I was thinking, like, what's the message this year? And I don't know if you remember, but after the season, we had the BP oil spill that killed millions of birds, fish, and insects. So for me, it was a total correlation, much like the alien face in the disc was a correlation to beware the bears. We're about to be really lied to this whole century unless we can fix it. And this was, you know, yes, we have communications with other dimensional beings, but let's not screw it up with all the misinformation. So this is Sugar Hill, absolutely gorgeous sacred geometry. And this is where I had my experience in 2007. You're going to see green crop circles and brown crop circles, and that strictly means beginning of the season when the crop is early, young, ripe, it's green, very deep green. And as it ages through the summer, May, June, July, April, May, very green. June, July, starting to turn brown, but July, August, this is what you're going to see. And it's dry, brittle, wheat, which is really hard to bend without breaking. So when you see a crop circle like this, which was huge, you know that when you look at it from the air, and again, this is an air image that I took from a microwave airplane, really hard. Oh my God, I would never do it tomorrow. The first time I started flying in those little planes, the pilot said, door on or door off. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, on your side, you know, the professionals, they don't want a door. And I was thinking, are you messing with me? But he wasn't. So I had to fly with no door on my side at 3,000 feet. And this huge camera that I barely knew anything about, and this small little camera in my pocket, but everything is tethered to my body, tied on, because he's tipping the plane like this. And the great pilot that I flew with when I did most of the filming, he would always say, look at me, you know, okay. And he'd say, do you want to do another circle around the formation? We do a full circle. And I'd say, yeah, let me do one with the snapshot camera, because I've done three with a movie camera. So he'd say, look at me. And the first time I didn't, I'd say, why? And he'd go, trust me. And finally, I looked away and I realized he had pitched the plane like this to get us back over the crop circle quickly. And I never looked away again. It was shocking. So filming the crop circles is a lot more challenging than people have any idea. And I must have been tripping my mind out in that higher frequency of being in the magic of all these formations, and also being in the magic of the mother, because the earth energies were so vitalizing, so chilling. I mean, really tingles. So I walked down this huge hill in these big welly boots, big rubber boots up to my knees. And I could see it from the hill that was a gorgeous crop circle. And some people called it a Metatron cube. But again, I would take every photo, stick a pin in the middle of it after I printed it, and spin it. And when you spin crop circle images, which I did in my fifth movie called The Shift Has Hit the Fan, you see that they light up and become what looks like propellers or the bottom of a ship. I don't know what they were, but when you spin crop circle images, it looks very, very different and they become energized. So I think that the ones that are mandalas, sacred geometry, are meant to be spun as well as looked at. And with sacred geometry, what you have is basically from the center all the way out, everything mirrors the other side. So as you look at this one, you can see that it's a reflection of the other side. And there I was laying in the middle of this one when I had my out-of-body experience, and that was 2007. It was early August, and I still had no idea that I was going to be making movies. It was never on my mind. But when I got out of that crop circle, I was blinking my eyes because I could see literally plasma. And they called it amoebas, there I am laying there looking at all this like I'd never seen in the sky, but I see it all the time now. And I had this little orange notebook, and I wrote down, you know, what am I looking at? And I had my pendulum like I always do. And I said, what am I looking at? And they gave me words. And so I just wrote it down, and I wrote the shapes of what I was seeing. And they called it amoebas. I call it plasma. But again, it's all the same when we're talking energy field that the eyes don't see. So this was Sugar Hill, where my life was changed. How gorgeous. This is the doorway. Does it remind you of an Escher print?
Yeah, it does. It's as soon as I clicked on this, it's the doors of perception is what came to mind.
Right. Well, to me, this was one of the most appealing visual crop circles. And I believe this one was 2010, again in Wiltshire, England. And the very next day, I hate to say it, we had an empty circle. The farmer mowed it out. And the reason was that the farmers were starting to be threatened because some of us, were making movies, and we were exposing an awful lot about the crop circles and how incredible they were and how the frequencies were so unbelievably palpable, where you could feel it. And I took one of my kids with me and a lady that I had just met in Glastonbury, where they also have a lot of crop circles. Basically, Stonehenge, Avebury, and Glastonbury is the epicenter. And Avebury's in the middle, where the three underground streams meet. You said, what is it about ley lines? The two things that I forgot to get to is that 97% of the crop circles that we had researched when I was, you know, early in like 2010, 2011, we found that 97% of them were sitting over a ley line. So you were right on that one. And a ley line is a direct line between two sacred sites. And that area is laced with sacred sites. So when you do the map, there's a map of Glastonbury, Avebury, Stonehenge, and all the crop circles in that area, and all the different areas in England also. But there's sprinklings elsewhere. Most of them are in Somerset and Avebury. And also Stonehenge got a lot of really great crop circles, but they're always sitting over not only an aquifer of water, but a ley line. So you've got really high-pitched sacred energy. And the stone circles, Avebury, older than Stonehenge, and Stonehenge, of course, where people, the spiritual people, had walked across, they called it a pilgrimage, across Europe for thousands of years to get to these stone circles to pray and to do their sacred rituals. So again, raising the frequency. And now you've got these underground streams. I'm getting goosebumps because I haven't talked about this in a long time. It lights me up. I don't know if it's affecting you or your audience, but I was really glad you said, let's talk about crop circles, because now I'm back. I'm like on a roll, in the mood, because it is magic. And in a world like we have today, where we're so bombarded with bad news, bad politics, bad actors, it's really nice to be reminded that we have access ultimately to free energy, to supersedes, to technologies that can really change the planet. And crop circles, when we tell the truth about them, are absolutely one of those sciences, but you have to only refer to real science, not boards and ropes and drunk guys that left the pub and they made a crop circle and that's how they're done. It's like, yeah, well, not my opinion. So let's move on, because incredible doorway crop circle, again, right near the, that one's called the West Kennet Longborough. And you see that lifted grassy nub and the interesting, you know, little trail that's like S's in a row, but you've got a sacred site there. And the long barrows are full of ancient bones of spiritual leaders and spiritual healers. And so they would take sick people into the long barrow, which has a doorway on the left side as we're looking at it. And they'd go into this chamber and the spiritual master would grab different bones that related to the person with the broken shoulder. They would grab a shoulder bone and they would do healings in these stone chambers that are underground, but they built a berm to create the long barrows. So it wasn't a stone circle, it was a long barrow, but again, a sacred site. And there you've got this gorgeous crop circle, and the farmers, damn it, mowed it out. So I'm glad I flew over it. We got photos that were beautiful, direct on top, but then it was a white circle the next day. And all we had was our images left. Thank God a few of us took pictures in those micro lights with no door on our side. And so sacred sites, very important to crop circles, and underground aquifer under almost every crop circle. So there's something about the water underneath and the sacred energy on the land that's creating these crop circles. So now what we're looking at is not plasma, but balls of light. And these are photos that I took. And also Monique Klickenberg from Holland took some of these that were really, really incredible. But you don't see these photos very often. And what we saw was balls of light like this over areas of where crop circles happen the next morning. And for some reason, not other films show these images. Now, this one is fascinating because it has what we called an open door. And I filmed these two guys from Belgium that told the story of being up on the hill over East Field on a particular night. And they saw these illumined beings come out of one of these orange balls of light. And for some reason, I kept meeting people across England in three different locations that were in the same field on the same night. And this movie is called Orbs and Light Beings. I made a movie about it, lost my boyfriend because of it, because he was with me the morning we saw these guys show up at the research center, but they both fell out of their camper van out different doors, literally fell out, almost crawled to the research center. And I'm saying to my boyfriend, do you think they're drunk? Do you think they're drugged? Well, I mean, what? And they weren't at all. They were both bright red faced. They had had a sighting the night before and they were still in shock, speaking very slow. And they said that they had seen these orange balls of light appear and then disappear. And then they showed up again and then they disappeared. And then a big one showed up and a doorway opened, Igor said. And he said that light beings with arms, legs, and a head came out of the doorway of this ball of light. Now, that's not the mother. So I don't know what that one was, but perhaps some of them are made by other dimensional entities. Some are made by the earth. Some are made by perhaps other dimensional entities, because those weren't typical balls of light that we, those were typical of what they look like, the balls of light over the crop circles. But if you go back to the one where there was a white one up above two images earlier, that was a really interesting, it looked like a mothership with three balls of light.
Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Just a quick word about our sponsor. So happy 2022, interest rates are at zero. Our government is printing money, $5 trillion in new money to be exact. We're told Russia's on the verge of waging war with Ukraine. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence is at a 10-year low. Inflation is at 7.5%. Something's not adding up, is it? So what can you do? You can play it safe by putting some of your assets into precious metals and keeping your money free from inflation. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold and they'll run you through the options for keeping your money safe. No pressure, no hassle, no call centers. Just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? Call 877-646-5347 or visit the website, noblegoldinvestments.com. You jogged my memory, Patty. Watch this.
The footage was recorded at 5 a.m. of 11th of August 1996 by John Waverley, an English UFO enthusiast of the crop circles phenomenon in proximity of Oliver Castle in England.
That's really, really low resolution, poor quality. But could you guys see that? It appears that a crop circle was manifested right before your eyes by those orbs.
I show John Waverley's footage in two, if not three, of my movies. And I have really clean footage of it. I was the only person that, for some reason, as I was editing my very first movie, Crop Circle Update, the wake-up call, anybody listening, this one, I put that footage in the movie. And as I was finishing the film with this editor that I got off Craigslist, 26 years old, I had just come back from my first time filming in England, and I hired a crew. And I'm going to send you my footage because it's a lot better than this footage. But I reversed the footage and slowed it down 30%. Now, 30% came up in a few different crop circle, very important scientific evidence bits. But when I reversed it, I found a binary code between the two balls of light that looks like this. And those two balls of light, again, we just did a kind of an image of it, a mocking of it. But the two balls of light, actually, when we reversed the footage and slowed it down, which came to me in a ridiculous way, I found that there was a communication, which in my opinion, was the two entities, the balls of light, spinning plasma fields, counter-rotating, opposite of each other, they communicated and the field went down in seconds. And that's in three of my movies for sure, because it is the most important footage I think ever taken. Thank you, John Waverley, who also went missing. That was a clip. And when I found the footage, I had all the big boys deny it. Oh, Patty, you know, that's a glitch. And it turns out it wasn't. And I showed it to Penny Kelly, who worked with William Levengood. And first thing she said when she looked at it was, oh my God, that's two plasma balls communicating. Where'd you get that? And I said, Oliver's Castle, 1996. So she knew right away. I knew right away. And again, we're dealing with intuition, not old data or BBS or all those TV shows that pay people to misinform is a nice way to say it. But that describes exactly the plasma balls of light going in counter-rotating vortices. So it wasn't until my final film, Crop Circle Diaries, I think most important film in crop circle history ever made, not because I made it, but because the information just came pouring to me. It was like when I was making movies, it was like I was magnetized. Everything would come to me. I didn't even ask for it. So sure enough, Bear Cloud, a Native American that's in a couple of my movies because we were in the crop circles together in the summer, he saw me at the at a Native American event where I was a speaker. And he said, you need to come to Sedona because I have something to give you. And so I said, well, funny you'd say that because I'll be there in 2 weeks. So I went to his home and he gave me all the original images of a lot more of the original images of Myers, Billy Myers. And again, we don't know if they're real or not, but there were the raw, what do you call it? That they take the photos from the raw film. Mm-hmm. And so I saw the raw film and then the printed prints. So it was like, damn, that's really good stuff. And he said, wait till you see what I show you. So he pulls up on camera, this guy that had totally told me, no, it's fake. It's a glitch. I don't want to say his name, Delatoso. But he, for $3,000, said to Bear Cloud on camera that that footage was as real as the Phoenix lights and that it was counter-rotating. It was pretty much what William Levengood had described as the real science of crop circles. And he admitted it to Bear Cloud, but denied it to me. So it was a game in ufology, but yeah, so what? I wasn't interested. Here's what William Levengood actually said as the science of crop circles. He began to theorize that within the plasma vortex, there were a number of different energies operating in the fields. His theory that was within these counter-rotating vortices, there was a whole stack of interactive energies, each with their own distinct boundary conditions. I have to read the notes because I can't remember the fields, but they were electromagnetic, ion-electron avalanche energies, and areas of convective stability that were very stable and coherent. And in those real fields, the plants continued to thrive and live. So they'd bend over and then they'd grow that way and they'd create super seeds, which was phenomenal. There was also human consciousness in some of these layers with distinct boundary conditions of frequencies. But then he said there were other fields that were chaotic energy that were microwave. So perhaps those were the ones where the military was trying to create crop circles, or a bunch of bad actors, you know, were in the fields with devices, directed energies that were microwave, and they were whacking on the fields, but those fields, the plants died. So big difference, real crop circles, man-made fake crop circles. You've got energies that are really enhanced. But in a couple of my films, there was a group of people that had done real croppies that had done a meditation. There was Janet Osebard and Bert Janssen and three other researchers. And they sat together in a pub. They tell the story in, I think, my first film. And they say that they all looked at this image of a tile from an ancient church. And it was five different Celtic crosses in a tile that were in a circle. And they meditated on it and they asked for a crop circle that would look like that. And 2 days later, it appeared and it was identical.
Let me ask you something. Let's just back up. I'm going to show this footage again. Now
I'm going to give you better footage.
No, that's fine. But here's the conversation I want to have. You said this was shot by John Whaley. Whaley, is that right?
John Waby or Whaley. They didn't know which.
Okay. Let's play it again. What year was this shot?
1996.
Okay. That's what I heard you say. I wanted to make sure that's correct. 1996. Now, I don't think this is, it could be After Effects, but back in 1996, I was working for a company and the consumer available technology to fake this didn't really exist to the degree it does now. So it's your belief this is 100% legitimate. This is a crop circle actually being formed by two orbs, not faked at all, not faked with After Effects or some sort of cinematic trick.
I believe that's true. Yes.
Yeah.
And but then when I finished my first film and I thought we were done, and all of a sudden, I'm in Boulder, Colorado, editing with this young guy, and I didn't know anything. I said to him, oh, God, I'm getting goosebumps. I feel like they're in the room. I feel like I'm in a crop circle. Let's go back. The film's not finished. And he said, oh, come on, we're taking a break. And I said, nope, we need to go back. So we go back in the house, and I said, oh, what's that blue orb on the monitor? And he said, I don't know. And then he looked behind and he said, the monitor's unplugged from the wall.
So when you say John Whaley disappeared, though, what does that mean? You've said that about several people now. These people just disappear.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were there and then they weren't. And again, it could be that they were threatened. It could be that they were taken out. But we couldn't locate them after the big discoveries. So, you know, you've got deep state playing way back then, and you've got them a lot more obvious now. But a lot of the great researchers, as you know, you've been whacked off all the social media platforms. Back then, they just disappeared the people. And I think that's what happened to John Whaley. He was there at the pub. He handed the film to somebody I knew, the raw footage, and he supposedly released it. But who would do that with something this valuable? And then all the misinformation came around and all the big players, you know, when I came up with the fact that I reversed it because I found whatever it was that came into my house at the time, I was given the information, slow the footage down, reverse it, with this young editor sitting there as witness. And he said, why? And I said, I don't know, just do it. So he reversed it. And I said, slow it down. He said, how slow? And I said, I don't know, 30%. And, you know, it shocked me. I was like, I don't know where that came from, but I've got goosebumps and tingles. Just do it. And we found this communication, this binary code between the two balls of light. And in that moment, I knew that those two balls communicated and the field went down instantly.
I don't want to get bogged down at this point on that particular subject or point you just made, because we still have a lot to get through. But what do you mean by reversing the image? Is it the image I just showed? Is it that video that you reversed and slowed down?
Yes.
How did you find this binary code between these two orbs? I don't get that.
You know what? I'm going to send you my trailer that only shows the whirling balls of light and me reversing it. But literally, it happened through intuition, and there's no other thing I can tell you. Nobody gave me the information. I was sitting there editing with a kid. I knew nothing, but I had just had the experience at Sugar Hill, and I was running on autopilot. I was running on seeing things in the sky that made it hard to ski because they were everywhere. So I had like this multidimensional vision where I was making movies about these things I knew nothing about. So it was all intuitive. It was all basically, I think certain people are chosen to bring information, and somehow I was. And when I send you the footage, you'll understand more how we literally just, I just said to him, reverse it, we're not done. And we found the, some people call it a glitch, but not me. It was binary code that was right between those two plasma balls. Now, the images that we showed earlier, the orange balls of light, and yes, that one, those fabulous images. Now, this could be what you thought was the mothership. This one I can't explain because it's not the plasma balls circling over a crop circle. And I do have another place in France where we had these balls that were circling and crop circles happen instantaneously. So those are clearly the mother delivering messages, but these were really interesting where we filmed these balls of light and this big bright one that was always away from the orange ones. But then we're still up on the hill and we're taking more images of these orange balls of light. And the very next day, that crop circle showed up. That was the image you just showed that looked like some kind of a scarab or a scorpion crop circle. So after this night, that formation showed up, and all these different groups of people, including children, told me that they were up on the overlook and saw these orange balls of light. And this was the crop circle that happened, but it happened in three phases where it started this big. And then 2 days later, it was this big. And then I don't remember how many days later, but sometimes they come in phases where the message gets more informative. That was a three-phase crop circle that showed up at three different times, getting, you know, the initial and then larger and then larger. But it was interesting that everywhere I went, it was like a magnet where I was like, so do you have anything interesting? You know, I've got the camera running. And these children said, yeah, yeah, we were in this, you know, we were standing in the overlook looking over at East Field or Golden Ball Hill. I don't remember which overlook. And they saw these orange balls of light. And they described it the same as the French people, the same as the two guys that fell out of their van from Belgium. And like I said, that story is in my movie called Orbs and Light Beings. And it was so shocking because everywhere I went, my boyfriend and I heard the same story from people that couldn't have known each other. And it's for that reason that I am such a solid believer. Plus, I've been in more than 100 crop circles, and pretty much all of them felt real, which means that the little hairs stand up and the buzz is huge. Plus, they all have these really interesting stones, which I would love to gather. And what it is slate wrapped in chalk, but they're all blasted open. And so we would find them blasted open into bits. Some of them black inside, some of them blue inside, some of them white inside. I mean, really interesting. I just kept grabbing them because I found them fascinating and I'd never seen them anywhere else. I would also grab crop circle bent nodes from the centers of all the crop circles I was in because they were just so amazing. and so high in energy. So I came home with little doodles and dabbles of crop circles, and it kind of kept the energy in my house. Again, in my opinion, I just felt like the presence stayed with me. It was really lovely.
So the kids you talked to, they say they saw those orbs and they were on or looking at Golden Ball Hill. Is that the actual official name of the hill?
I can't remember which one was the scorpion looking crop circle, but there's different overlooks that we would always go to at night. One was over Eastfield and one was over Golden Ball Hill, but because...
But I'm just asking, Golden Ball Hill, is that, has it been called that for centuries? Is that the actual name? Because it would tie into the orbs, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, it would. I don't know who named it. I don't know how long, but I just know that at the research center, people would say, I took these photos from Golden Ball Hill. And Janet Osebard would always talk about this huge orb that she saw as she was driving past Golden Ball Hill. Now, a lot of the crop circles and the hills are named after the farms that are there. And some of the farms have been there for centuries or different family generations. So, you know, a lot of the crop circles are just named after the farm that they're on. I don't know who named Golden Ball Hill, but it was one of the overlooks along with East Field where we would regularly go at night, because typically if we're going to have a sighting of the balls of light and a crop circle there in the morning, those were the two best locations because they were the epicenter. And when I say epicenter, I mean, like Wiltshire, I told you, had 150 crop circles on average the years that I was there, 2007, 8, 9. And then things started to change, but we'll get to that in 2019. When things really started to change and the epicenter actually moved to France. But that's five images ahead. So let's keep looking at the images in order.
Yeah, this is number 17. We've got about 7, 8, 9, 10 images left to get through. So in the next 15 minutes, we'll try to wrap this up because we're going a little long here, but it's such interesting subject matter. William Levengood, I guess now we should talk about some of the research and we'll round out the conversation here with the science.
Yeah, well, I started with his science and I read from his pages where he described it. There's his lab and he just lived in the lab. And Penny Kelly would drive across the state to work with him for free because she was so fascinated. He was a scientist that was studying plants and soil for 50 years. And as soon as he saw his first samplings of crop circles with the bent nodes, that was it. All he wanted to do was study crop circles. So let's go to the next image because I've got a couple of him and then some great ones. Handsome guy. And I've got his smoking pipe. I've got his bell. I've got all kinds of treasures from him because I went to his wake a year after he passed. And they said, please take things that mean something to you. And, you know, they had all his possessions. And I kind of waited till the family, of course, took everything they wanted. And then I had a little bit of a heyday, took his pipe and his alien bookmark. I mean, I got some cool things. But here he is in the lab. But what's most interesting is that stack of notebooks above his head to the right was his entire research library. And when I was taking images in the lab, it was after he had passed, that there was a man there who was documenting every single page of his journals. And I filmed that guy with my small little camera because the lady that had inherited the estate wouldn't let me bring the movie camera in. And if she had any idea how quick and hard I moved to get all these images, she wouldn't have liked me very much. So here are different nodes, and a node is where the wheat or barley or corn bends. And on a normal stalk of plant, Penny Kelly was talking about it in that little clip that you mentioned, that you introduced, but she said that the cellulose that creates all these plants has liquid inside. And whatever it is that's hitting the plants with this boom energy, it heats it up really fast and they bend. and they bend in a specific direction. So it's really intentional that you can make 10,000 bend to the right and 15,000 bend to the left to create a specific pattern. And pretty phenomenal when you look at the expulsion cavities, where some of them, the heat was so strong, like the top right image, that it actually shows a burn hole where it would burst a hole because it heated too much. And the heat came right out the hole, the steam. A lot of them were more gentle, so they would just literally bend like two rows down, the green ones that were earlier in the season. Some of them, like the formation bottom right, were the interiors in dry wheat. They were braided and knotted and like teepees. I couldn't believe some of the centerpieces, and I feature centerpieces in a couple of my films because they were art. And those are done, in my opinion, by the earth, because they were too artistic to be done by humans when the wheat is that dry. So those are called bent nodes, blown nodes, and elongated nodes, such as the ones in the middle, where it looks like they're stretched just to the left of the green formation. Those are extended, where the heat didn't necessarily bend it, it just stretched it out. And a lot of times we would find dead flies on the flower heads, which was really interesting, just there's so much heat. And Penny Kelly also mentioned the iron ore, which was really fascinating because there was a leaf where she had peeled off the iron ore that was in the middle of a crop circle. It has to be 1200 degrees to melt iron. At a minimum. So how could that not burn an entire field down? But they found bits of iron ore in some of these fields underneath the leaves. And Lefty, William Levengood, said that the way that they discovered that it was a plasma vortex was the mathematics of how the wheat had thrown its particles, including iron, out from the center. Again, you've got a spinning vortex of plasma with all these different boundaries, conditions with all these different frequencies, and it's spinning and spinning, and there's another one over there counter-rotating, and then boom, the field goes down. But some of the fields that had metal particles were shocking because did they come out of the earth? Did they come from the sky? That was one of the mysteries. Luckily, we did not find very many dead animals, like, you know, that would be crawling through the fields at night with the heat at that volume that would make everything bend instantly and burn holes through some of the stalks. It was quite a mystery, but not to William Levengood. And that's how he described it. I found it fascinating. A little bit more of his science. Was that he said the distribution of particles such as iron in the soil exactly matched the mathematical formulas of counter-rotating vortices and the way they throw material out from the center, which I was describing. He was convinced that the vortex was the form or active action that was happening to create a crop circle. He discovered it was plasma by using a plant and waving a magnet up and down to get the same results repeatedly. And he said, this is a charge density plasma and it is a plasma vortex. And that's how they deciphered that crop circles were spinning plasma vortices. So they started taking the seeds and putting them in his lab in the chamber, the growing chamber where they would put seeds and see how fast they grew. And they found that the seeds inside crop circles were growing, like I said, 30 to 400% more food and biofuel per plant. So he said, how can we recreate this? How can we make it happen? And so they kept testing, you know, plants outside the crop circle, inside the crop circle, but they can only create the super seeds with that specific scientific method. So he created this machine that I'm dangerously going to show again. And they set it at 30, which is a charge density plasma machine. And I'm generously showing this, but you can see it slowly in Crop Circle Diaries. They've got the seeds, they've got two metal plates and a charge density plasma machine hooked up behind. You can see it's plugged in And they were able to create super seeds in the lab. And for that reason, William Levingood was minimized, insulted. My films were hacked. It was really awful what I went through. On Amazon, I think there were 231 stores selling my movies for up to $750. So I couldn't sell them for $20. I went through hell. Vimeo, same thing. My rentals went up to $653 just so nobody would rent them when I had them for $3.99 to rent. So everything you're going through, Sean, pain in the butt, getting thrown off every site. I've been dealing with it for 15 years because, and again, how did they know that I would bring the science, you know, remote viewing? That's the only guess I can come up with because they've been hacking my film since 2007 and not fun at all. So in 2011, I had won a bunch of these Ebe Awards and they put me on the cover of UFO Magazine and Colin Andrews, he got real famous, but I'm not going to make a comment about him or his research. I'm just going to stick with the facts, which is I was in more than 100 crop circles, but it wasn't until I went in the lab that I discovered what was important. So you can see behind me a crop circle way down there, and I climbed all the way up the hill in those big plastic green welly boots just to get the shot of that crop circle, and then had a hike back down. And it was pretty fun because in the middle, I met Stephen Greer, and he was he had one of his classes for thousands of dollars. You can go in crop circles with Stephen. And we have the same last name, but we are not related. Stephen is not my grandfather. He's not my dad. I'm not his wife, but we have the same last name. And in the crop circle, he had two compasses. And what was fascinating is I already learned, I hadn't learned yet the science, but they were going north that way and north that way, two compasses pointing north in opposite directions. And when I learned the science from William Levingood's research, I realized counter-rotating vortices, of course, north would be that way. No, that way. So I thought that was really interesting, kind of proof positive that we've got a real mix of science. Oh, there he is.
Well, I had to bring this up. I wanted to ask you, what is your opinion of Stephen Greer? Because he doesn't seem to have suffered the same level of censorship and interference that you've suffered and others have.
I don't have a comment. I wish everybody well on their journey.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think that the fact that he hasn't been messed with is a statement. I think a fact that I've been really messed with is a statement. But I've learned the hard way to shut the heck up. And for that reason, I try and not throw my perception out. But thank you for asking. And, you know, I respect him. He's been out there working hard. My films should have had at least the coverage his did, and they didn't. So that says something. Yeah. I mean, my films could have really made a difference, but they were clearly not supported by any of the three distributors that I had. So 2019, everything changed. 2015, it really changed in the field where I was really working with the great, great researchers, which in my opinion were Robert Odine, Wendell Stevens, Dolores Cannon back then, Barbara Lamb, who's still around. She and I are the crappie girls that are still here. But Stanton Friedman, Jim Mars, all these great people that are no longer with us. And they died in a short period of time. And I got really hurt.
Yeah, I miss Jim Mars. And by the way, I should mention, as we're having this conversation today, he's not a ufologist, but our friend Rob Kirby, who's an economics and precious metals guy. He's been on SGT Report many times in the past. He's in the hospital, I just heard this today, with quote unquote COVID. He's up in Canada. They have him on a ventilator. So everybody hearing this, please, please say a prayer. Ask God to send the angels to intervene and save our friend Rob Kirby, who I just found out today is on a vent in a hospital in Canada.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'll tell you the truth. I was put in the hospital with that same disease, and I was put on M1, CV lockup, and they threatened to lock me up for 72 hours. And it was by the skin of the grace of God that I got out. This was only 2 months ago. And I saw it firsthand how dangerous the hospitals are. And the guy that talked to me in the morning said, "You're dangerous. You're dangerous to the world. You're damn." I was scared shitless because Kirsten W. had just passed away. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the people that promoted my company, C60 Evo. And I knew how she died, and it wasn't pretty. And there I was, all of a sudden I was put in the hospital, not with my wishes, and I lost every medical and legal right. And there I was. And thank God at the last minute, the truth came out, which was that I really was poisoned by another idiot with uranium. I've had two people try and take me out in the last 5 years. And one of them was almost 3 years ago. Some idiot left uranium in my garage, uranium, strontium, cadmium, a horrible little vial that was hidden, and I just about died. I've had a number of treatments since then, but there's a lot of people that just don't like honest people that are trying to make a difference, that are making a difference. You and I are making a difference, and it's a very dangerous time to be telling the truth in times of universal deceit, they call it. But I have enjoyed so much the magic of my experiences that I'm choosing to love that more than the fact that I still live in pain pretty much because of these evil people that tried to wound me severely. And I've done a lot of work to stay healed and well. So going back to the crop circles and the fact that, yay, I'm alive, it was really close to me being locked up. I was in right there at the edge, like your friend. And luckily I escaped, but it was only 2 months ago. And I think I was targeted because I had just reported the truth, in my opinion, about the fires in Boulder, Colorado, and what I thought caused them. I don't know if you heard about that. 1,082 people lost all their homes and everything in them in the course of 2 hours. Out of the blue, 115 mile an hour winds showed up. And 17 different images on satellites showed that there was something that directed a fire there in a pattern. And then boom, all these houses went up. And I should probably be quiet because I was locked up shortly after that. So, you know, we're not free of this. It's a very dangerous time to tell the truth. On the other hand, what are we here for? We chose to be here now. We chose to make a difference. And damn it, I'm going to stay here until we see the regime that's happening now leave. And all your shows and mine come back up on social media, the new platforms, not the old ones. I mean, FB is so bad that they had to change their name to Meta. Come on, you know?
Right. So. Well, let me just say this. The hospitals in this country and in many places around the world have become the new killing fields. And you got to stay out of the hospitals because they will kill you with the CDC, NIH, Fauci protocols, which deprive people of life and liberty and enrich the hospitals with CARES Act bonuses when they label you COVID, when they label you with COVID, when they give you remdesivir, and when you die of COVID. All bonused out. Bonuses paid to the hospitals, to the doctors. It's absolutely sickening. And I guess as we round out the conversation, I do want to ask you, what changed in 2019? Let's go back to that slide. Help us understand. When you say everything changed in 2019 regarding crop circles, what does that mean?
Well, all of a sudden, the farmers no longer let us into the fields. And it was because they were threatened by the Wiltshire government or the local municipal governments, that if they wanted their stipends, their money from the government, their support for their farms, that they had to not let us in anymore, us being the researchers, the real croppies that were coming in there with their movie cameras. They couldn't stop us from flying over because the pilots could still fly, but they had limitations on flying over Stonehenge. Well, that's Stonehenge, but the fields that had crop circles were a little ways away. And the farmers were so affected that they stopped letting us in because they were threatened they wouldn't get their government money. So it became less fun. And the hacking was horrible. The it just became awful. And in England, it was no longer welcoming. So the mother herself, in my opinion, said, fine. And all the military around Somerset and Wiltshire, England, was really becoming more visible. And they were more aggressive in the pubs. We were seeing more military rather than more crop circle researchers. And all of a sudden, in 2019, there were all these crop circles in France rather than England. And it was very interesting because here's some of the images. What I saw was divine feminine. I saw dancing goddess formations, and almost all of them were the same kind of straight axis and these crescent moons and balls like planets maybe, and crescent moons like dancing and skirts. And it was very feminine. And then this one in Poland, 2019, I believe. Who puts a crop circle in Poland? But this one, again, it looked like, obviously, the yin-yang, which is two paisleys and a base ball. But one of the balls was outside the formation. In other words, I believe that in 2019, the mother said, screw it. And she moved the epicenter to France. And then this crop circle came into a very dry field in Poland. Not easy to do because you can see the beautiful weave of the center, like in one movement of both the circles. But the fact that I think the male was spit out of the formation, and we don't mean male, we just mean the patriarchal energy that's harming the planet, which doesn't mean men compared to women. It's just that energy field that's not the divine feminine was really apparent to me. When I saw this one, it was like, wow. And then the ones in France with all the dancing goddesses, and they had skirts and whatever, but they were all very similar. And then, boom. 2019, right in May 28th, I think, splat. That was a V-I-R-U-S, if I ever saw one.
Oh, interesting. God.
And then the whole summer, it built and built. So I think the mother was giving us a warning that here comes a big V-I-R-U-S. And to me, this was extremely telling, and it was early in the season so that everybody would see it. Now, there's nothing circle and perfect about that. It was a bunch of splat.
It does sort of look like what we're being told is COVID graphically, what we see. And I would just like to say this, too, as it pertains to deep state and bad actors, the negative energy on this planet being taken out. There is some quantifiable data coming out of Ukraine that suggests that Putin and his forces have struck what are reported to be bioweapons labs throughout Ukraine. Yep. American funded bioweapons labs. And by the way, Ukraine is essentially the bad guys' home base. And when I say bad guys, I'm talking about Biden, Clinton, Soros, deep, deep, deep state actors that are trying to destroy this world. So the Ukraine story is very interesting.
Very interesting. And I do have the same belief that they've taken out a lot of bioweapons labs. And what's sad is that a lot of good humans are being lost in the mix. We regret that, of course, and we feel bad for all the buildings other than the potential labs that you might be referring to. I'm glad you said instead of me. But I think we've taken turns exposing a lot of things that we believe are true, because the deep state is really presenting itself in such a large way that there's not a lot of question anymore, that I think everything's coming to the surface to be healed. And interestingly enough, in my films, I had a couple of lines that just came up every time when I was editing. And it said, we offer the information, your perception is up to you. And another line that came up in my scripts as I was writing them was, it's not what you see, it's what you don't see. It's not who you know, it's who you really are. And for some reason, those statements came up in every film, and they were pertinent. And again, it was intuitive thought that brought those words to paper. And the last couple images are the thank you that I did get, aside from being able to be in more than 100 crop circles, even though I was being hacked terribly by whatever, I still kept winning awards for my films, which I'm really grateful for. Those are 5 different EBE awards from the International UFO Congress Convention, which used to be, in my opinion, the greatest event in the world, because all the amazing real speakers used to come here and speak. And again, I don't want to say what I feel about it now, but I won Best Feature Film, and I also won the People's Choice Award for my final film, Crop Circle Diaries, which I'm really proud of. And in that one, I just told the truth about the weird experiences that I had going into Crop Circle at night and all of a sudden looking down at my skirt and shirt and seeing like 50 tarantulas in white at night in twilight. And here I am alone in a crop circle covered in these huge spiders, and I wasn't scared. Like, you know, it was a whole different world. So I do want to invite people to see my films on my website, which is cropcirclefilms.com, films with an S. I have 8 different films, and all of them are pretty unique, and most of them won awards. And then I also have the full collection set, Crop Circle Ecstasy, which is all of my movies. And you just, turn the page, and there's another movie. And there's also all my soundtracks of my original music that was also hacked starting in 2004, where I played the harp, and all the movies are my soundtracks. So somehow all the work that I've done came together flawlessly, and all the people that I needed to meet came to meet me when I was filming. So for me, even though I'm wounded and I have a hard time walking, after the last time I spoke, I was at the airport leaving. This is the worst of all. And I was hit with some kind of directed weapon at the airport. And literally I fell to the ground from standing into a pool. From my chest down, I was like, couldn't move. I was like jello. I don't know what hit me, but I have not been the same since. That was 2017, and it was really awful. And I've had a lot of treatments and surgeries, and tried to, I walk now, but little bit of a limp, and the field got way dangerous. I told you I'd end with this, but it wasn't a fun process, and I just stopped making movies. But I made 8, and they all got out, and they're all available on my website. But what got me through was how we began the show. We each took a shot of C60 Evo. My partners own the lab that's been manufacturing C60 for 31 years with integrity. And our products are pretty damn amazing. And I think without this, I wouldn't have lived. I definitely don't think I would have lived. It boosts your immune system more than 172 times the power of vitamin C. It's an antioxidant, anti-inflammatory qualities. We can't say, because we have to, you know, honor the FDA and not make medical claims. But from the testimonials that we get, people are healing from all kinds of things that they haven't been able to heal from in any other way. And when I start my mornings with C60 Evo, I do the coconut oil. I just pour it in my coffee and rub it on my face. And I just feel changed. I feel really grateful that I'm still here, especially after the hospital when other people didn't make it. I have been tested like nobody else, but I boom, 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 fight back, because I'm determined to be here to see all of the crap crumble and for humanity to rise to where we know we can be. And Sean, man, you've put up with a lot. You and I have been around dealing with all this. I guess you've been doing crop circle research since the top of the century, because you absolutely knew those early formations, but they're pretty famous. And they really make a difference as we look at history. And we think, you know, could the mother be talking to us all this time? Heck yeah, I think so. I think that she's speaking to us in binary codes, pictograms, mathematics, sacred geometry, mandalas. And she's speaking to all of us around the world in a language that we can all understand just by looking. And people that see my films will understand so much more. I was like leaning out the car window when somebody else was driving, filming the tree tunnels and I think people will be quite impressed and amazed by the research of William Levengood that's been severely dishonored and disrespected because he got to the science that proved crop circles are real and the seeds are producing enough food to save the planet when we get rid of Monsanto. And I believe we're going to. So amen.
Yeah, amen. And I'll just say this. Some of the language you've used in our interview may sound a little new agey to some of the listeners. And I just want to say this as it pertains to any belief system about what these things are or from where they come. It could just as easily be, and I've said this about aliens, the alien deception, they may very well be demonic entities. And these orbs or these things creating crop circles could just as easily be angelic. So I just wanted to point out that there's room in the conversation for Christians to tackle this subject, just as there's room in the conversation for people of, you know, all walks of life and belief systems to look at this complicated, important subject. And I guess my final question for you, Patty, is in lieu of you doing the research, who else? Is anybody doing research right now? Is anybody else documenting new crop circles, or is the whole thing just sort of gone away, vanished?
Well, there's a website called cropcircleconnector.com, and they document every crop circle that happens anywhere in the world. I hope they're still happening this coming summer, because crop circles are still happening. In my opinion, the mother is still delivering crop circles, and they do show up in different countries. Even though 2019, it seemed like the epicenter moved to France, by the end of the summer, I think it was 17, I'm guessing because I don't totally remember the math, but there were 17 in France and 16 in England. But in England, they showed up kind of late in the season. But then you've got crop circles in different countries showing up, Belgium, Holland, a variety of countries have seen one or two, like the one in Poland, who knew? But I think that people that do research, there's a lot in America. And William Levengood actually said that the American crop circles have higher energy than the ones in England because they, yeah, crop circle connector. Because the Great Plains have a lot of land mass for the wind to go across the country and have those natural ion electron avalanche energies and varieties of energies. So he thinks that there was more energy in the American crop circles, which really don't get documented a lot. It's that secure. So cropcircleconnector.com was my go-to. And there's also Steve Alexander has a beautiful site in the UK called Temporary Temples. So if you look up Steve Alexander, Temporary Temples, he did a lot of the flying footage. He used a helicopter. We used a microlight. So he's got really clean moving footage, which I used for my final film, Crop Circle Diaries, because I chose to afford it. But he's got a library of crop circle images that you can buy 8x10s. You can buy calendars. I actually bought 10 calendars just to support his work a few months ago. And I've got 4 left. I can send you one, Sean. They're really beautiful.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the conversation. It's nice to have finally met you, Patty. And I will leave the link, guys, to cropcirclefilms.com below, as well as the link to C60 Evo if you guys want to try that product. And I guess I would just wrap things up by thanking you for sharing your experiences with us here today and all of this great information.
Thank you.
All righty, guys. Our guest has been Patty Greer. And friends, thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate each and every one of you as well. A special thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv, where you can sign up there, guys, and get access to that private server that's beyond the reach of Big Brother, so they cannot deplatform us. Thanks for your support, friends. And for real news 24/7, visit us directly every single day. For real news, the antidote to corporate propaganda at sgtreport.com. God bless you and your family, friends. Bye-bye.